Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this Pentecost Day. We're so glad you're here. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. And the Kelsicks, Margaret and Andy Kelsick, and their baby girl, Sonia. Oh, welcome. It's so good to see you. The Kelsicks were members here for a number of years, and then they had to move away to a little state called Ohio. But we're really glad to see you and welcome. I invite all of you, whether you are visitors, members, or something in between, to fill out a connection card at some point this morning. This is a chance to connect with each other and with what's going on in the life of this church. There are a lot of things going on in the life of the church this morning and in the coming days. I hope that you will take some time this morning to read the announcements and your bulletin insert. Two things I would like to highlight specifically right now. This morning, following worship, during our fellowship time downstairs in the fellowship hall, the American Baptist Women's Ministries group is having a donation bake sale. So you go down there, you find the goodies you want, and you decide what it is worth to you to have those goodies and what you would like to give to support the ministries and missions that these wonderful women help support. Immediately following the donation bake sale, please come back up here to the sanctuary for our town hall session as part of our ongoing series of conversations on our church's stance, attitude, practice towards members of the LGBTQ community. This has been a very important and invigorating conversation. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to have a voice. And that is what this meeting is all about this morning at 11:30 in this room. And an important part of the town hall meeting is that there will be a survey at the end of it for us to try to gauge where we are and if we're ready to move forward to some of the next steps that we've been discussing. So please don't get so caught up in the goodies downstairs that you don't make your way back up here, because we want to see you down there and then up here. You can read the rest of the announcements at your leisure, and I hope you will. Now we're going to share in a call to worship together that's going to take a tiny bit of instruction. You will see group one and group two listed in your call to worship. If you are sitting on this side of the sanctuary from the middle of the middle section over, you are group one. If you are sitting from the middle section over that way, you are group two. I think it'll be pretty easy. Now join with me in our call to worship. That first day found us together. Then the Spirit came as wind and fire.
Wind of freedom, fire of courage.
We found our voices.
We cried our praise. We spoke with friend and stranger. We shared the gladdest news. They heard the gladdest news.
They heard it, and we heard it too, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and no one is excluded from the gift. The Spirit is given. We are changed. The church is born. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you. stand if you are able. Let us pray. Dear Lord Almighty, you have helped us distinguish the good from the evil. Help us think less about ourselves and more about others, so that the world will have less evil, but more loving kindness. We thank you for all the things you have done for us. Amen.
Thank you. sing till the Spirit moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till the Spirit moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till the Spirit moves in my heart. I'm gonna sing till Jesus comes. I'm gonna sing till
my Jesus.
Yes, yes. Thank you, choir. Let's continue in praise and in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we do feel the Spirit moving. Open us now to the fire of that Spirit, your Spirit. Open us now to the flame of your love. Break down everything within us that would stand in the way of hearing your word of grace for us and for our world. Break down everything within us that would stand in the way of our speaking your word of love for the world. It is from that love that we offer our prayers this morning. In Jesus, you promise peace beyond understanding. Gracious God, there is so much we don't understand, but we do know our world needs your peace, and we pray for it. We come again in despair over another school shooting. We pray for the community of Santa Fe, Texas, as they reel from this horror. We pray for those who were injured and for all who were traumatized. And we pray especially for the families and loved ones of those who were killed, whose names we lift into your infinite love: Cynthia Tisdale, Sabika Sheikh, Chris Stone, Jared Black, Shauna Fisher, Glenda Ann Perkins, Kimberly Vaughn, Angelique Ramirez, Christian Riley Garcia, Aaron Kyle McLeod. It is too much, O Lord. It has already been too much for too long. By the power of your Spirit, light our way forward and give us the courage to do what needs to be done, to do what we can do to put an end to such violence. We have other names on our lips, other people in our hearts who need your special care right now. We pray for Heather Entrekin, Heidi Goodhart, Holly Pettit, and all the family and friends of Lois Entrekin. We also pray for Joan Blunt, Jim and Jerry Suits, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Murphy Stumpf, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nae Lin, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Jim Terrace, Olivia Len, Kenneth, Curtis, Joan, Al, for Sandra DeLine, Kim and Jason Weaver, Pat Murphy, Bailey, Art DeGroot, Valerie Nebbia, David, for Connor Flynn, the friends and family of Richard G., for Laura and Tony Parmalee. And we pray our private prayers in silence now, trusting that you know our deepest needs. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Move us. Fill us. Kindle in us the flame of your love, that we might live your love and show your love and speak your love to all. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who sent us your Spirit and taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
We hear from the New Testament book of Acts the story of the giving of the Spirit and the birthing of the church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared above them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under the heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "These are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, who said, 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. I invite all children now to come forward with some special time with Zane.
Today is a birthday party, and it is a good one. It's so exciting. Some of us, Layla, got to see her music teacher sing. She was so excited to see Mr. Terrace. Yeah, there he is. It was so fun and so much excitement. There's so much excitement in the room. And the excitement we feel is the Holy Spirit. That excitement that's in the space is the Holy Spirit. And the church began, we're hearing the story. Sometimes when we celebrate our birthdays, we hear stories about our childhood, or maybe about the day we were born, or maybe the day we first rode a bike. We celebrate and we hear stories. That's what we're doing today. We're hearing all these great stories. And we're singing this new song, a congregational song, leading up to Time as Children, that is all about the Spirit. And then it's asking for some things. At the end it says, "Send us love, send us power, the ability to do what God wants out of love. Send us grace," which is forgiveness, and love and a whole bunch of goodness that is a big gift for us. So when we celebrate the church's birthday, these are the things we think about. We are asking God to send us the Spirit, to send the Holy Spirit, so that we can love, that we would have power to be about God's work in the world, and that we would receive God's grace, God's love and forgiveness. So I'm going to ask that we sing it one more time, and I want you to watch the movements to these words. Esher, would you hold the microphone for me so I can use my hands? Thank you. I want you to see just those last three lines there. Send. Can you do that? And grown-ups, you can feel free to do the sign too. I love that. Send. Send us love. Send us power. And you show your muscle there. Yeah. Muscle not to be big and in charge and to boss people around. We're asking for God to give us power to do what God wants. And then, one more time, send us grace. And it's like God showering love and forgiveness on us. Okay, so let's sing that one more time. Shanae, will you lead us through that? And we'll do those hand signs all the way through. You can watch, okay? We can watch.
Gracious, living God, may it be exactly so for us all, now and forever. Amen. You give the man your ticket at the carnival or the amusement park, and then he lets you through the gate with the others, and you climb into a seat on the roller coaster or whatever other wild ride you've committed yourself to. The bar clicks down over your lap to lock you in, and soon off you go. It moves so slowly at first as it climbs higher and higher and higher, and you look down and wow, you're so high off the ground, and way down there is the merry-go-round. People getting on to go in circles. While you and your crew up there in the sky are almost at the brink of who knows what. And then you plummet, falling so far, so fast, and then a sharp turn slams you sideways and up again and down, all these quick surprises to your body, and you have to make the choice that everybody on a roller coaster has to make: to hold on for dear life with your jaw clenched and your eyes wide, or to lift up your arms and absorb every turn and fall and lift and feel the wind in your face and shout and laugh. The ride is over. You get out. What a ride. And you walk by the merry-go-round, which is steadily turning in circles. You could have chosen that. If you're part of the Church of the Living Christ, you are not on the merry-go-round. And if the first day of the church in the world is any indication, we are on some kind of wild ride. Will you hear the story again? This was after Jesus had died and was raised to new life. It was also after he had left them for good. They would never see him with their eyes again. And their last memory of him, he had said that the Holy Spirit would be coming to give them power to share the gospel, and that they should all stay together and pray and wait. It is funny to me how much he did not tell them the bizarre sights that they would see, the noise and the chaos, the things they'd never seen or heard or even imagined before, and the people they would meet, and the transformations that would happen everywhere. All he told them was stay together, pray, wait. Then, wow. About 120 of them were there, men and women, doing just what he'd said, all in one large house. They'd been doing this for a week and a half, when suddenly one morning they all hear a sound like a violent wind, and they all see what looks like fire in the air. And they look at each other and see over each other's faces this dancing light like fire. And then they open their mouths to speak, but lo and behold, they aren't speaking their own language. They're talking in Latin, Greek, Arabic, Farsi, Coptic, languages and dialects from Asia, Africa, Europe. And they take it outdoors, and because it's a big spring harvest festival in Jerusalem, the streets are crowded with people from all over the known world, and each of those people can hear his or her own native language, and they're blown away, though some in the crowd just shake their heads and say, "These are sloppy drunks, and that is just gibberish." What a commentary, by the way. This is how seldom the world sees the true liberation of the Spirit. But they can only conclude these people must be on something. Peter steps forward and says, "We're on nothing at all, but the love of God, fueled by the Spirit, and set free in us to sing it out for all the world to hear." And see, the Spirit's proclamation is coming no longer from just a few holy men. Not anymore, for the day is here at last, long foretold when God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young and your old shall see dreams and have visions, and even your slaves, male and female, even your slaves, I'll pour out my spirit on them. What a revolution. From the day of its inception, the church was gender inclusive, age inclusive, social class inclusive, sons, daughters, old, young, maidservants, male servants. Unfortunately, as time went by, some in the church were displeased that there was so much freedom in the church. So they built hierarchy and silenced the voices of many, and the institutional church developed quite a talent for exclusion. But the church's birth was a glad freedom fest. The Spirit gave everybody a voice, turned everybody loose to give their own unmanaged, unhindered, uncontainable, unpredictable expression of faith for the sake of reaching and blessing every possible life in the world. That expansiveness of freedom has always been at the center of what the gospel means to do, to give spiritual freedom at last. And with it, emotional freedom, relational freedom, social freedom. How bitterly ironic it is that through history the church has made it its business so often to impose controls and squelch the Spirit's gift of freedom. But it almost always backfires. Consider, for example, what European Americans did to African men, women, and children whom they had taken to be their slaves. They sought to convert them to be Christian, taught them the Bible, gave them instruction in the Christian life, and surely some who did this had genuine, heartfelt concern for the salvation of the souls of these people. But truth be told, it was used to keep the slaves compliant, docile, manageable, accepting of their place. Funny thing was, having given these people the Bible, the people in charge had unknowingly given them the key to unlock them from bondage. For once they had the Bible and heard the stories, all those stories of deliverance and all the words of the prophets about justice, and the teaching of Jesus about all being the forgiven children of God who would and set free to live like sons and daughters of the resurrection. And all the accounts of the Spirit's empowerment. In all of that they heard and found in themselves and among and between themselves again the fires of freedom relit and fanned, so that in the end they and their descendants marched their way toward full freedom, singing the gospel, which had that freedom in it all along, which can never be forever covered up. People keep trying to build the church in the likeness of a merry-go-round. Everybody holding on to some painted thing, going round and round beneath the big shelter. But the Church of the Living Christ is a wild ride driven by the Spirit's never-ending surprises, unpredictable, scary, thrilling, joyous, not to be clung to, but surrendered to, arms lifted, and the feeling of the wind in our faces. Does the church need order, structure, discipline, restraint, rules, boundaries? Yes, it does. And so do I. And so do you. Otherwise, we are subject to the tyranny of whim and falsehood and illusion and the doing of harm to others and to ourselves. Sometimes I think the Spirit's freedom we most desperately need can be freedom from the tyranny of disordered, unboundaried living. And yet, the birth of the church was a great holy chaos. The theme was not compliance or control. It was all self-abandonment, outreaching movement, openness, trust, improvisation, free spirit. Maybe some of us should give some new thought to loosening the grip we keep on so much of our lives, to get a bit less fixated on our agenda and spend less time asking ourselves, how am I doing? To be more happily interruptible, to laugh at how absurd we've been ever to think that we were in control, and more to yield to the Holy Spirit's unforeseen gifts of opportunity and wonderful surprises, if only we will be open to see them. And so also and always in our life together as a church, accustomed as we are to sameness, and fretful as we are over so many, many things, we should always be seeking the Spirit's newness, making ourselves always newly open to whatever new gift Christ would give and new beckoning to follow further. To lift up our life together like a sail, to catch where the Spirit will have us go now and who it would have us to be in the world. The vibrant saints of all the ages, including those at that first Pentecost morning, prayed earnestly, expectantly, joyously. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us, speak through us, act in us for the sake of your world. And so they gave their caution to the wind. Why not? Well, if it's a day for freedom, let us be free. We have opportunity now to make new gifts. Gifts of what we possess, more importantly and always, the gifts of who we are to be and to keep becoming by the grace of God and the Spirit's empowering. This is a moment to offer ourselves. Let it be our worship and our faith to do so. Great God, by your love and by the grace of Christ and may the power of the Spirit, may we be made always grateful, glad, faithful, and free. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. gathered into the Spirit's blessing by the grace of God, let us be bound to each other in the love of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you.
We are thrilled to be welcoming more new members this morning, and I'm just pausing for a minute because the children are coming back in for this, and we hear them. Do we see them yet? Okay. Oh, there they are. Great. So I'm going to invite Drew and Vanya and Jackie to come on up. You guys can come all the way up here. Yeah, all the way. Their bios are listed in the insert, and you can read about them there, but I'm going to introduce them not in the order that they're listed, but in the order that they're standing here. Right here is Vanya McAllister with her daughter, Layla, who goes to Dickin Elementary, where her music teacher is right over there, our tenor section leader, Austin Terrace. Vanya and her family moved to Ann Arbor not all that long ago, two years ago, from New York City, originally from the Philippines, and then California. Vanya is a musician, and she and her family just bought their first new home together. They've been apartment livers for a long time in New York and San Francisco. And so they're happy homeowners and now happy church member. And we're so glad to be welcoming you here. Vanya has been worshiping with us since last fall and has already become very connected here. And we're glad to make it official this morning. Next to Vanya is Jackie Snyder-Powdhar. Am I saying Powdhar? Powdhar. I say it differently every time, but now I'm going to say it right, always. Familiar face to many of you, I hope, because Jackie grew up in this church, was baptized in this church, was a crucial part of the youth group in this church, preached the youth sermon on Children and Youth Sunday a number of years ago, a couple of times, and then went off and has done all of these wonderful things you can read about, some social work, and now she received her law degree and just 2 weeks ago passed the bar. And this Wednesday is getting sworn in to practice law. So we are so thrilled for you, and she is venturing into all these new things, has lots of plans for her life, and part of that plan is to come back to her home church. So she's coming by transfer of letter from her previous church, and we're so glad to welcome you home. Next to Jackie is Drew Mast. We've got an attorney theme going on here. Drew has been a part of our church family for a few years now, ever since his now wife brought him here. Jillian, another familiar face, was in the youth group with Jackie Jillian grew up here, daughter of our beloved Sue Ellen Glover, and Tom, also beloved. Drew and Jillian were married here 5 years ago, and have been adding to their family ever since. Drew is a delight. He and Jillian not only have a child and one on the way, but many pets, they're just a wonderful family. I know you already know that. We're glad that you're making it official today as well. I ask you to join with me. Do you all have your bulletins up here? In welcoming them officially to our church family. And after the service, we're going to invite them to stand at the end of the ramp with Paul so that you can welcome them personally. Please join with me. We gladly welcome you into this church home. We pledge to learn with you, to serve with you, and to grow with you in the family of Jesus Christ. We are all made richer in faith because of your joining us. May the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us all to be good friends to each other and fully faithful to the calling of God on our lives together.